John Mize here, and in today's training, I'm going to show you how to visualize the future, to be able to see into the future in your niche, and specifically look at disruptive behavior that's going to happen in your niche, and what you can do to preempt that disruption in your niche. So let's talk about disruptions just a little bit. So, and prior to talking about disruptions, let me give you some background on this, especially for me, for what I believe is important for you. One of the things that I've been working on in my business that I've been talking with a client or so about is this idea of how do we see what's going to happen in the future? How do we preempt it? Why do some entrepreneurs kind of see what's coming 3 to 5 years from now and others have to wait until after it happens? And what I'm going to share with you today is sort of a culmination of studying a number of things, looking at historically what's gone on in the past, say in the last 10 or 15 years, studying that historicity, and then looking at the future and saying, okay, based on what's happened, based on what we can see is likely to happen, what can we do in your niche? So you see, you don't have to see the future for the whole world. You don't have to see the future for anybody else's niche. All you really need to say, all you really need to see is what's going on in your niche. Are you going to be phased out 5 years from now, or are you going to preempt that disruption that's going to occur and perhaps even become the disruption? So if you can see that disruption before anybody else and say, this is likely going to happen in my niche, you can say, I'll just do it. I'll be the first to do it. I'll disrupt the niche, and everybody else now has to follow me, rather than you waiting and seeing what someone else does and then saying, okay, well, I've got to change my niche because I've got to change the way I do things because I'm falling behind. So without further ado, let's get into the past disruptions. I think that you'll be familiar with most or all of these disruptions, so I'm going to give them to you quickly. I'm going to either name the company or the item, and I'm going to quickly tell you what that disruption is. I believe as we go through, you're going to be able to begin to see a pattern, and then I'm going to lay the patterns out for you. Okay? So if we look back 100 or 150 years ago, we see that most retail goods were sold in very small stores. However, big box stores came along and disrupted those small stores. So you can have a small town that has 50 small stores in a downtown area, and one big box store comes in, and within a few years, half or three-quarters of downtown is completely shut down. So that's an example of a disruption in the offline world. And I give that to you first because I want that to lay the stage. Because disruption doesn't just occur online. Disruption can occur offline. So let's look at the PC disruption. So when computers, you know, in the initial age of computers, it was big mainframes, and universities and big companies use those computers. And in fact, many people in the computer world never saw computers being available to the masses. But some visionary people did, and when those PCs became available to the masses, when a desktop computer became available where everybody could have a computer in their home, that was an amazing disruption, frankly, in a lot of ways to every commercial business out there. I mean, you look at accounting businesses, you look at data businesses, you look at publishing businesses. The PC disrupted every one of those markets because now, and not even now, but when that happened, when that disruption occurred, no longer could the big mainframe huge accounting firms say, if you want computerized accounting for your small business, you've got to pay top dollar to us. No, you can now do accounting on your computer right at your house. Same thing with web publishing. So instead of saying, if you're going to be a publisher, you've got to go with one of the big companies, you've got to do a minimum of 200,000 newsletters, you can web publish from home. You know, have five members, and it's okay. Why? Because the PC brought the computer into somebody's home, and we could go on and on with it. Now, How about if we move to Dell? If we move to Dell. And so, you know, Dell brought this idea of a custom-made computer. Now, what are the advantages to a custom-made computer? What's the disruption of to the custom-made computer? A custom-made computer says it can be exactly what you want. Okay? So instead of going to another company and selecting from 50 models and getting the closest to what you want, a Dell computer could have been exactly what you wanted. But what was even more disruptive to the industry was that Dell didn't have to pay for the computer until you bought it. So whereas all the other computer companies had to pay for the computer, they had to pay for the chips that go into it, they had to pay to get it out to the stores, and then they were paid, Dell was able to get paid first and then go build the computer and then send it out to you. Another disruption. Let's look at another disruption. How about the iPhone? Now, when we look at the iPhone, you might say, well, that's actually not much of a disruption. That's just furthering the cell phone continuum. But here's where it disrupted. It disrupted the camera market. It disrupted the camera market because now many people who would have bought, let's say, low-end cameras, and not to say that an iPhone camera is low-end at all, but if you look at the price point, someone might have gone out and bought a low-end $100 to $200 camera, maybe a 10-megapixel camera, nothing special, $100 to $200 camera. Now, if they have an iPhone or any of the smartphones that are copying the iPhone, you don't need a $100 or $200 camera anymore. So the only time you might buy a camera now if you have a smartphone is if you're in the photography business or you're in a place where you really want a fancy camera. You want something that can take, you know, action and take, you know, 100 pictures in 60 seconds or something like that. You want a $1,000 or a $2,000 camera. But you think about it, the iPhone has disrupted the low-end camera market. Now, this wasn't in my notes, but I'm going to give it to you as well, and that is the digital camera disruption of the analog cameras in the past. So obviously that was a big disruption. I'm not going to go much into that. Well, let me look at another company that has kind of disrupted. This is more online. So prior to Freelancer, if you were looking for someone to do work for you online, you might ask for referrals, you might look for other people that are doing it, you might hunt the search engines, you'd hunt and peck and you try people out. Freelancer changed all of that. That was a disruption in the market. Because now you can go to Freelancer, and if somebody bids on your project, and you have 10 people bid, and one person has only done one project before, and someone else has done 100, and you're able to, somebody else has done 50, and you're able to look at the quality of work they did for other people, then it levels the playing field for you being able to hire. It makes it possible for you to hire on a global level, even if you're a one-person entrepreneurship. Massive disruption in the freelancing and in the outsourcing marketplace. Okay. How about Amazon? Amazon. I'm not going to talk about everything that Amazon has disrupted. Some things that Amazon has perhaps disrupted aren't really disruptions. They're just growths. But one place that Amazon disrupted is the book market. I think we all know that. Amazon disrupted the book market. You can probably point to many, many, many of the small businesses in America and many other countries, the small book-selling businesses that have gone out of business primarily due to Amazon. Now, not just Amazon. Obviously, other companies are doing what Amazon did, and that's contributed. We could probably say that one of the biggest disruptions in book selling in the last 10 years has been Amazon. Now, before we go any further, I'm going to give you five more examples here in a moment. Before we go any further, I want you to notice a couple of things about these disruptions. In hindsight, these are all disruptions that would have occurred. If the big box stores that did it initially didn't do it, somebody else would have. You would have, right? I mean, if there were no big box stores today, it's just a no-brainer that big box stores are probably going to be more efficient, and they would just drive out small businesses. However, it didn't happen on its own. Somebody had to build the first big box. Right? Think about this. PCs being available to the masses. If Steve Jobs and Bill Gates had not made it happen, somebody else would have. It would have happened. Same thing with the on-demand computer. Somebody else would have made it happen. I believe that somebody else would have. Now, this is one that, I mean, who knows? You know, who knows? The iPhone with pictures, would that have eventually happened? Of course it would have eventually happened. Had that freelancer, of course it would have happened. Had that books online, of course it would have happened. It might have been a different company than Amazon, but of course it would have happened. So if that's the case, that all of these disruptions were going to occur anyway, then each of the people that drove the disruption itself were preempting that disruption. So we could say that they caused the disruption, but since they all would have happened anyway, I believe that we can look at it from the perspective of they preempted it. Now, I know we're splitting hairs. You can say they caused it. I believe they preempted it. Now, what does that mean for you? That means for you that if something is going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years in your niche, and it might take 10 years without you, but if you can see it coming, if you can see that disruption occurring, and you're the first to do it, you're going to preempt it. You'd probably be credited with the person who made the disruption occur, and you'll be cutting edge in terms of global marketplace, because instead of you having to play catch-up behind whoever else disrupts, you're the disruptor, so as long as you scale, you own the market for some period of time. We can look at all of these disruptions. We can look at all of these disruptions. We can say, who started the big box disruptions? And you could look at some of the big department stores and go way back. Or you could look at Walmart and you could say, if you look at who caused the disruption, whether it was Macy's or whether it was Sears or whether it was Walgreens or whether it was Walmart, notice that wherever you pinpoint that, and maybe you go further back and come up with another company, but wherever you pinpoint it, notice that all of those companies, with the possible exception of Sears, I mean, there's been growing pains, some growing old pains going on there, but with Walmart, Macy's, Walgreens, Woolworths, and I'm still going to throw Sears in there, even though it's some breaking up going on. Let's throw them in there. They are still leaders, certainly as an aggregate, of that movement. They are still leaders of the disruption. Nobody else has been able to catch them, certainly as an aggregate. Okay? How about PCs? Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, and the companies that they pulled together, created, pulled together, whatever you want to call it. They're still a leader. 2 decades later, well, maybe even you could say 3 decades later, they're still the leader. Okay, now, Dell, obviously some changes there, but if you think about, is anybody else doing custom-made computers, I don't believe you have anything on a global basis. How about iPhone pictures? Obviously, it's a short period of time, but they led the disruption, they are the leading the disruption, and they are on the cutting edge of disruption for the next 10 years. Now, that's Freelancer. Is anybody going to upseat Freelancer? It's going to be a long time if it happens. I mean, obviously, you know, I mean, anything can happen, but let's look at it. It's obviously a shorter time period. They led the disruption. They preempted the disruption. They're still the leader. Amazon led the disruption, preempted the disruption, and still the leader. And I'm going to give you a few more in just a moment. And then we're going to talk about you. And to me, what does this mean? It means to me that if you'll disrupt your market, and then you'll make an effort to stay in the forefront, you'll make an effort to fight the fight, whatever it's going to take, you can be in the forefront in your niche for whatever that disruption is going to be in the next 5 to 10 years. Let me give you a few more. How about Airbnb? That's disrupting the hotel market. Disrupting the hotel market. Selling an amazing number of hotel rooms, and they don't own a single room. How about Uber? Disrupting the taxi market. And they, although they appear to be global, they're only in a small number of cities. from what I understand. And yet, they are disrupting the taxi market. And if we look into the future, now obviously you'll notice I've given you this historically. We started out with big boxes. We know what happened with big boxes. Then we went to PCs. We know what happened to PCs. iPhone, we know what happened. We don't know what will happen in the next 10 years. You know, Freelancer, Amazon, same thing with Airbnb. You know, what could happen there? Uber, you know, what could happen there? But if we look at it, if we look logically at this disruption, is it possible that the taxi driver that has been around, the classical taxi driver that's been around for the last 100 years, the classical taxi companies that have dominated the big cities, is it possible, and we don't know this because we're looking in the future, is it possible that they will not exist the way that they do today in 10 years? Is it possible? I believe it's possible. You know, do we say that well, anything can happen. How about Match.com? Talk about disrupting offline dating. I read a stat a few days ago. I don't know how true this is. I just read it. Okay, I obviously haven't researched or anything like that. But something like in today's market, one-third of people getting married met in an online environment. Now, I don't know how true that is. I don't know if it's higher, lower. I don't know what country that was in. But can we not credit what Match.com and maybe a few other dating companies have done for disrupting the dating market? Disrupting the dating market. Now, it would have happened anyway, right? Without Match, it would have happened anyway. But they were able to be one of the companies that were able to preempt it, and because of that, they're able to be on the cutting edge of the future. How about Instagram and Pinterest? Have they not preempted disruption in the very small category where they're in? So taking pictures and kind of displaying pictures. And making that go social. Is that not a disruption? Now, obviously, I think that 10 years from now, we'll be able to look back and say, what's the completeness of that disruption? And really, with the exception of Match, I think Match should have gone back way back where Freelancer was. I've given you these things in sort of the order in which they occurred. And so we don't know exactly where Instagram and Pinterest are going to go, but what do we know about the social media companies, the big companies? What do we know about the big social media companies? They're seeing what's going on with Instagram and Pinterest, and they're seeing that it's a disruption, and from what I can see, they want to be a part of that disruption. But the thing is, Instagram and Pinterest have already captured that. Okay, we're looking at the past. Obviously, everything I've just given you is kind of my slant on the historicity of it. And so if I've given you some information about Match or maybe Instagram or Uber, any of these, it just doesn't exactly match with what you see the history of, just look at the whole basket and say, do we see a pattern of past disruption? And if that's the case, can we look at that and say, what are the traits in that disruption? Because here's the thing. If you can find the traits of the past disruption, you can probably predict with a good level of accuracy what the traits of future disruption will be. And we can't know what the disruptions will be, but we can predict with reasonable accuracy what the traits of those disruptions are. Then if we take your niche and we say, okay, what would your niche look like if these three disruptions occurred? What would your niche look like? I think something amazing is going to happen in your mind as you think about this, and there's going to be an aha moment that says, I can change what's going on in my niche, and I can be the forefront of it. So let's just pick apart a few things. And the things that I'm going to give you, they're not going to apply to all of them. They're just going to be traits. They may apply to all, and there's going to be traits. So with PCs, with iPhone, with Freelancer, with Amazon, and with Match, we find that there's more availability to the general public. And so let's go through these one by one. PCs, more availability to the general public, meaning that instead of having to buy a $10 million university computer, you can buy a $1,000 PC that's yours. More availability to the general public. How about iPhone taking pictures? Just the picture aspect. more availability to the general public. Because in the past, you had to buy a phone and you bought a camera. Now, you buy a phone and you don't even really pay for the camera. The camera comes with it. I mean, the price of the iPhone would probably be the same if it had no camera. So it just comes with it. It's just there. So it's more availability to the general public all over the world. Freelancer. The outsourcers were out there, but now they're more available to the general public. It doesn't cost you as much to find that freelancer. How about Amazon? Books are now more available to the general public. Now, that could be argued that they were just as available in a bookstore, but let's face it. If you go into, and by the way, I'm still totally a fan of my local bookstore. I tend to buy books at my local bookstore, even if I'm paying twice as much as Amazon, because I want that local bookstore to be in business 10 years from now, because I love going to the bookstore. And so I put my money where my mouth is. I rarely buy anything on Amazon unless it's the only place I can buy it, and I don't want to wait 2 weeks for somebody to order it for me. But think about it. The bookstore down the road has, let's say, 5,000 books with book titles, or maybe they have 10,000. I don't know how many SKUs they have. It depends on the bookstore. Amazon, 3 million, 10 million, I don't even know the number. So in terms of being able to find any book that you want, Amazon wins like 10,000 times hands down. To me, that's more availability to the general public. We look at Match, more availability of people to date to the general public. Now, I'm not arguing the good or bad of it, okay? But what I am saying is they made more availability. So 20 years ago, if you were single, there were a few different ways to meet people that were single. Okay? You know, you go to church, you go to community, you go to a bar, you know, you meet somebody in the grocery store. There's like 100 single people that you know. That's it. Match, now there's a million. Now, that's not to say that the quality has improved at all. You know, none of that. But availability, way up. So what do we see? What do we see as a trait? We see more availability as a trait in these disruptions. How about another trait? So if we look at, and just try to guess this trait. If we look at Instagram, if we look at Pinterest, if we look at Airbnb, if we look at Uber, if we look at Freelancer, what's the trait there? To me, it's a social networking of something. So social networking of finding outsourced workers. Social networking of finding a hotel. Social networking of finding a taxi driver. Social networking of pictures. Social networking of grouping pictures. Social networking. Now, obviously, there are social networking sites out there, and we probably could have included those on this list and said, hey, where's the disruption there? But I didn't. And the reason, I think that the key reason I don't want to pull that in is because I wanted businesses that can relate to you. You're not going to go out and create a new social networking company that's just social networking. What you might do is in your niche, you can say, how can I disrupt my niche by social networking my niche? Like Uber social networks taxi drivers, Airbnb social networks spare bedrooms, Instagram social networks pictures. What can you social network in your niche, or can your niche be social networked? Okay, how about making things cheaper? Making things cheaper. Now, one of the things that a lot of times we talk about when we're talking about growing a small business is we talk about, hey, you don't want to compete on price. You don't want to be the cheapest one around. And a lot of times when we talk about that, we're talking about you as being a small business, meaning that you're a one-person shop with one or two people helping you. And as a very small business, if you're the cheapest around, you're probably not going to do the volume to be profitable. You probably need some pricey clients or some mid-range clients to be able to pay the bills. But if you have a million customers, as long as there's a margin for getting the job done, you can price really cheap, just make a dollar a customer a month, and you've got $1 million a month coming in. So you can bare bones things if you go really big. And so for those of you that may hear me talk a lot about keeping prices more robust, when we're talking about scaling out really big, then lowering the price can sometimes make sense. So there's my caveat for this, for those of you who follow me. I want to go to this idea. Let's look at every one of these. Big box made things cheaper because they could buy twice as much, drop the margin. PCs were cheaper. Instead of going to have to spend, whatever, $50 an hour at the university, you own your own computer. Dell, I don't know that that made things cheaper, but it may have. I forget the exact economics on it. iPhones, taking pictures is now cheaper than it used to be. You don't have to go out and buy the camera. It comes on your smartphone. Freelancer, in my opinion, it's made the price of outsourcing cheaper because there's a whole market. Anytime you put together a whole market, prices tend to come down. Amazon has made books cheaper. I don't know about Airbnb and Uber. I don't know if prices are cheaper there. The dating, you know, we could kind of go into it makes meeting someone cheaper. So per person, it's cheaper. I don't know if it makes dating cheaper. And then obviously Instagram and Pinterest. So what do we see as a trend? We see that things become cheaper as we go into the future. Prices tend to go down as we go into the future. So they're more available. They're also easier. So it's easier to go to the big box store than it is to walk around downtown. Now, I like walking around old downtowns. I'd rather do that than go to a big box store. But if I need something really fast and I know exactly what shelf it's on, it's probably easier to go to the big box store. So it's easier. PCs available to the masses, easier. iPhones, pictures, easier. Freelancer, easier. Amazon, buying books, easier. Airbnb, easier to find a spare bedroom in a town. Uber, easy to find a taxi driver. Match, easy to find somebody to date. So we have a trend here of easier. Okay, now, excuse me. So if these are the trends, and these are just four trends that I'm giving you, I'd love for you to dig deep into this and say, are there four more trends that you can see disrupted the past? You can take this list or make your own list and say, what are some other trends? But just working with these trends, we see that the disruptions of the past were caused or were ushered in by creating more availability or by adding a social networking component and or by making things cheaper and or by making things easier. If that's the case, and if history is the blueprint for our future, is it possible for us to say, okay, how can I apply availability, social networking, cheaper and easier to my niche today and discover a disruption going into the future? I think the easiest way for me to do this is just going to be to take about four markets and apply those four things to it and kind of move from there. But before we do that, let's look at some coming disruptions in the world. One thing that we know is a coming disruption is that there'll be more people online faster. So as long as it's taken, say, the last 20 years to get, whatever, 50% of the world's population or 35% of the world's population online, we're probably going to see that, like, triple in speed so that there'll be twice as many people online in maybe 5 years or 6 years or 7 years. So all of a sudden, the total number of people seeking a solution in the world online doubles. But do the actual size of the existing companies all double? Doubtfully. Who's going to make up the gap? Well, you could. Somebody will make up that gap. The question is, who is it? So we know that there is going to be a gap between supply and demand, between today's supply and tomorrow's demand. What's going to make up that supply? My guess is it's going to be two things. Number one, it's going to be many more people coming into business that don't have the same experience that you do, and then some big companies that rise to the top, and it's your choice. Do you want to become one of those big companies? The second disruption is that more niches are going to become cheaper, more available, and easier, and also go a social networking route. That's what I see going into the future in terms of disruptions. The question is, what's the coming disruption in your market? Let's just do a few examples here. Let's do totally hypothetical. I just picked three or four niches right here, just right out of the hat. Let's look at the real estate market. Now, in the real estate market over the last few years, we've seen a movement towards online, and we've seen a movement towards people showing videos and things of the inside of the house. But in my opinion, it's pretty sporadic. It's not something you can count on. So when you go see a particular home, you don't know if you'll be able to do a video tour. You don't know what website you'll be able to find it on and get all the details, et cetera, et cetera. What if there was a disruption in the real estate market in the next 5 to 10 years that made everything more available, that made a social networking aspect to real estate, that made buying and selling real estate cheaper, and that made it easier? What could that possibly look like? So if we just look at it from the lens of what Airbnb did, Uber did, Match did, Amazon did, let's just throw out some ideas. What if someone developed a central real estate marketplace, like a social network place, where everyone in the world felt compelled to list their properties there? They still list them wherever else they do, but they've got to be listed there because it's the number one place that people now go to. And why is it the number one place? All the availability is in the very same place. Things are cheaper. So one of the things we've seen that I don't think has worked real well is, where you can sell a home for a price, $1,000 or $2,000, instead of some type of commission. But what if you had a central clearing hub that there was an amazing amount of availability and there was a one type of price that was cheaper than the current price, and it absolutely made a no-brainer, and it wasn't harder to do, and it wasn't, you could do it on this house but not this one, but it's everywhere, so it was cheaper. It was easier to do transactions because all of the real estate paperwork could just be downloaded from this website, and then you just have to have one quick physical meeting, and it would all be done. Now, obviously, this is totally hypothetical. You know, you might say, well, there's some legal hassles to this. There's some legal loopholes. You know, my opinion is, if you look at all the other disruptions that have happened, there's been obstacles and loopholes. The question is, what would happen in the real estate market if there was a disruption that made everything more available? There was a social networking aspect where people would, every time, let's say your house is listed on this website and 50 people go through the house, and everybody could go to this central clearinghouse website and post their own comments on going through the house, and they had an incentive to do that. And so you would want to go to this website because that's where people, before you even walk through a house, you'd want to see what other people said about that house. Imagine if that was able to happen, and imagine if the cost of exchanging homes went 50% off. What if it became so much easier? I'm not even saying that this is a possible disruption, but it's an example for you to think about what could happen to the real estate market. Now, let's use that old standby in the internet marketing realm, and that is dog training. I mean, we go back to dog training because it's such an easy niche to be able to talk about ideas. But what if someone came along and made an Airbnb for dog training, and all the dog trainers in the world would register for this central dog training website? And they would bill through this website, and they'd be willing to accept a 30% pay cut per person because they could get three times as many clients. And there was a social networking aspect, and on this website, everybody that ever had the dog trained by this person was able to make comments about was the person good, was the person bad. There could be a rating system like over at freelancer.com. So all the trainers, all the dog trainers in the world, and it'd be kind of like if somebody wanted to hire a dog trainer and they called somebody up and they said, hey, are you on this dog training central clearinghouse website? And they're like, no, I'm not there. And they're like, well, I don't hire anybody except people that are there. You know, after a while, then they say, okay, I've got to go over there and pay the $10 a month that it takes to be a part of this website. Or maybe it's free. Maybe it's cheap. What if there was a social networking aspect to it so that all the dog trainers were to participate? You know, and I can hear you right now. You may be saying, well, we don't really need that because all the dog trainers have their own website. Well, if that's the case, why do we need Freelancer? All the outsourcers have their own website. Why do we need Amazon? All the books have their own website. Why do we need Airbnb? Everybody that has a home for rent, has a room for rent, can just post their own because it's a central place. So if we look into the future, is this a disruption? Now, obviously, this disruption can lay latent for years, but until somebody comes along and does it, it'll never happen. Just like we talked about PCs. You know, if Steve Jobs and Bill Gates had not come along to do it, that disruption would have remained latent until somebody else did it. And I personally believe it would have happened by now. But still, somebody would have to make it happen. And so if you sit back in your niche, let's get away from real estate and dog training and look at your niche. If you sit back and wait, somebody else might do it. Somebody else might never do it. But it doesn't mean it's not viable. It doesn't mean it's not a disruption. But you could do it. Let's look at one more. The two that I just gave you are ones that I just made up. Now I'm going to take one from our past disruption and look at it going into the future. Let's look at dating. You see, the past disruption was online or offline to online. So now we see online dating. But if we look at what's going on in the online dating world, we're seeing that it pretty much operates the same way as it did 20 years ago or 15 years ago. It may be a little more interactive. There might be, you know, more videos, et cetera, but what if someone like you were to come along and say, there's going to be a disruption. Dating is going to be more available. It's going to be fully social networked. It's going to be fully cheaper, and it's going to be fully easier. And you were to say, we're just going to apply it. We're going to put everything in. There's going to be one low price, and you're going to get availability to every date in the world, just like every hotel in the world, every date in the world. No matter what website it's on, you're going to be able to access it here. One price. So instead of paying $20 here and $30 there and $60 a month there, one price, $20 a month, access to everybody in the world that's on the dating networks. How about social networking? Fully social networked, where every time you go on a date, you rate the person. Every time you go, it can be anonymous, but every time you go on a date, and so when somebody says we're looking at having a date, well, 40 other people have dated this person, and these are the reviews. Imagine how this would change the dating market, okay? And for all I know, folks, because I haven't been in the dating market for a long time, for all I know, maybe all of these things have already occurred. And if that's the case, it's sort of proof of this whole disruption concept right here. And what if the whole dating thing was easier? I mean, what if we could make – so that's just dating. So we've looked at real estate, dog training, and dating. Now, I want you to think about your niche. Just picture your niche. And I want you to ask yourself the question. If there was a total disruption, and whatever it is I do in my niche became totally available to everybody on earth easily, there was a full social networking aspect in my niche, the prices in my niche went cheaper, down to a third of what they are now, I mean, that would be total disruption. And it was totally easier. What would it look like in your niche? What would it look like in your niche? What would it look like in your niche? You can draw this out on a sheet of paper. Now, I've wrestled with this a good bit. I mean, I've drawn it out. I've written my own lists. I've studied in my niche where these things are going. So this isn't something that took me 30 seconds. I gave you 30 seconds to write those things down. I believe this is something that may take you a few days or a few hours to really dig into. I encourage you to dig into it and ask yourself, where's your market going? Once you've done that, you'll be able to then make an intelligent decision. You'll be able to say, this is where my market's going. Am I content doing things exactly the way that I'm doing them right now? Do I want to wait until someone else does that and then react? Or do I want to just go bold and do it myself? I think that you can't make an intelligent decision about that until then, and I don't know that any one of those decisions is the wrong one. Now, obviously, if you make the decision to do nothing and then 5 years from now you're totally disrupted and you can't fix it, maybe you're out of business, but I can't tell you that that's the wrong decision for you. I can't tell you that being in business for five more years storing enough away for your retirement and then just quitting when the market changes. I can't tell you that that's a bad decision for you. But if your market's going to get disrupted in the next 5 to 10 years, but you want to be in business for 25, you may want to start preempting that disruption. And the second thing that I hope to do in this training is to give you the ability, to give you some tools to look at future disruption. How's that future disruption going to happen in your business? What's it going to look like? What's that future disruption going to be? What's the innovation that's going to happen in your business? Okay, now, to give you one more idea. This idea is more of a guideline than an idea. We've got to be very careful that we don't institutionalize this and say just because Airbnb did it, Uber did it, Match did it, and Freelancer did it, that I can do it in my niche, make it more available, social networking, cheaper and easier. I'm going to do all of these things, but I'm going to do it without understanding the customer needs in your marketplace. You see, each one of those companies knew what the needs were. Freelancer knew that the needs in their market was that people were having a hard time finding people to do the work. Amazon knew that the needs in the market were there's 10,000 books at your store at your bookstore, they can have 10 million on their shelves. Airbnb knew that the need was there's lots of bedrooms that aren't being rented. Uber knew that the need was it may be harder to match taxi drivers with humans. I don't know what the exact need was. So you can't do this in a vacuum. If there's no need in your marketplace, then doing this thing on a big, huge scale won't mean anything. There's got to be need. And so you're going to want to dig in and say, what's the need in my marketplace? Are people itching for a change? Are people itching for a disruption? Okay, now, I want to give you a couple of thought questions to throw in there, and then we'll kind of close things up here. What if everything in your market went totally available? How would you respond? What if your market went totally social networked? How would you respond? What if everything in your market went cheaper, third of the price as it is right now? How would you respond? What if it all went to one big site? So instead of going to your site along with 1,000 other sites on your topic, everybody really bought from just one site. How would you respond? What if the front end of everything in your market went free? What if there was a way for your market to just be totally free on the front end? How would you respond to that? Would you respond by creating a totally free version that was limited, and then you get people hooked on that low-end version, and then ask a percentage of them to upgrade to another level? What would you do? Okay, now, once you've looked at all these things and say, what if everything in your market went in one of these directions, what would you do? Ask yourself the next question. What if I just do it now? What if instead of waiting for all of these things to happen, what if I just do it now? What would happen if I just do it now? And so what I want to do, I want to leave you with that thought question. What would happen in your business if you just did it now?